Greetings from Podcastville. The Church of What's Happening Now is sponsored by the Behind the Irishman podcast. You heard about the film The Irishman on Netflix, the latest movie with Martin Scorsese starring De Niro, Pacino, Joe Pesci, and my brother Sebastian as Crazy Joe Gallo. I loved all the performances. I liked that crazy guy that played Tony Pro. I mean, I thought the movie was fucking phenomenal. I don't care about the CGI or all these people who gives a freshman's fuck. But I will tell you one thing. Now you can go behind the scenes, Behind the Irishman, the official podcast. Learn about the real Frank Sheeran and his deathbed confessions to killing Jimmy Hoffa. Learn what drew De Niro to the book and how he convinced Scorsese to make the movie and what it took them to get Joe Pesci out of retirement. And for the film nerds out there, learn about the de-aging technology they use to make the cast look 20 years younger. It's hosted by Sebastian Maniscalco, who's part of the Church family, and he's great in the movie. This is such an epic movie that it needed its own podcast. So this is the first Netflix podcast dedicated to a single film. Right now, go to Behind the Irishman. It's available now on every platform. Check my show notes for the links or search for it now. New episodes are falling every Monday. Watch the movie, then go behind the scenes with The Irishman. Let me ask you a question. You see fucking New England fall apart yesterday?
Yesterday?
Houston usually is deadly at home on Sundays for that family game that they fucking always cover, and they fucking covered big yesterday. But nobody probably bet Houston. Everybody bet who could bet against New England with a fucking brain on the head. Listen, the Church is also brought to you by MyBookie. What the fuck are you waiting for? We're in the middle of football season. You like winning money? You like betting sports? I'll tell you where I put my money when I go down. MyBookie.ag. If you're trying to bet on the NFL, MMA, UFC, Chinese guys playing ping pong, I don't give a fuck. MyBookie's got it. They got better incentives and more lines than any other sports book, period. And right now, today, use promo code CHURCH to get 50% bonus on your initial deposit up to $1,000. That means you put in $1,000, we give you $500. You put in $1,000, they give you $5. It's that fucking easy. Visit mybookie.ag. Again, grab a pen, you fuck. MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. And don't forget to use promo code ARTIE when creating your account to claim the bonus. I think that's wrong. It's promo code CHURCH. You play, you win, you get paid. The Church is also brought to you by Onnit. Listen, they got the Alpha Brain sweepstakes. You're sitting there on your ass. Alpha Brain makes a great fucking Christmas present. You know somebody who's a little bots, a little fucking retarded. Get them a little Alpha Brain so they can start focusing again, right? Go to Onnit.com and press in.
Church.
Boom. And there you have it. Kick this motherfucking Mule Lee. Shit.
You need
Monday motherfucking morning. Tuesday morning. What the fuck am I saying? December 3rd. We're starting the month off like fucking savage. Listen to this shit. You fucking kidding me? My brother Nick Futuro. The Christ Killer. And your Uncle Joey Diaz, you bad motherfucker. That's a fucking steamer right there. This is one of the dirtiest albums. You can play this album and get horny. Some people think... You ever play? This album is as dirty as can be. They got a song on here called The Lemon Song. I almost raped a bitch one night.
Really?
After I heard it. When I was 15, I did fucking Angel Dust, and I drank a bunch of beers, and there was this lady in my block that was a MILF.
Mm-hmm.
Before the MILF, this is 1979. Nobody knew what a MILF show was. She had big tits, and she'd always wear, what do you call those things? In the 70s?
Negligee?
No.
Oh, fishnet?
No, they wore... You just pulled it over your chest.
A corset?
No.
I don't know.
You pulled it over your chest. in the 70s. And you could just pull it down and show your tits out. And it just
A tube top.
Tube top.
Whatever the fuck. Oh, the tube top.
Whatever the fuck.
Yeah, because when you
called.
Had big tits.
Yeah, you would just tuck them in the shirt.
You just pull the tube top down, and then you could suck those titties.
She had two dogs that were blind, two French poodles that were blind. She'd have to cross them across the street, and they'd shit in the park when we were playing basketball. And she'd have little hot pants.
How old was she?
Flip flop. If I was 14, 15, she was 39.
Wow.
40. And every time she was over there walking the dog, I let the ball go down the hill just so I could walk by her and look at that ass. She was mint.
Mm-hmm.
Titties, everything was mint. But her husband, this is how hot she was. Whenever she walked the dog, the husband would go on the balcony to watch to make sure none of us attacked her. Because he knew we were a bunch of banditos. We would have picked her up.
He knew, right?
What's that movie, the fucking Outlaw Josie Wales, when they find the blonde behind the fucking thing and they pull her by her legs? That's us when we were 13.
Oh, like that?
We were looking to fuck somebody. We just didn't know who to fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ran with a crew that was looking to fuck. We were just looking for the right woman.
Like Straw Dogs.
But nobody
remember
knew.
That movie?
Oh, Jesus.
Nobody. All those fucking guys hanging out on the roof.
Man, holy shit. That's the movie with the rape scene, right? Like,
it's a rape scene. It's a rape scene, but it also turns into like a fucking weird, twisted love scene. Then the other guy comes in for a chusky. The other guy. But there was all these guys hanging out. You remember Dustin? They sent them.
We were savages.
Oh, my God.
We were ready to go, but nobody knew I was in love with Faye.
With Faye?
That was her name, Faye, and I was going to take her down. And she had two daughters. One daughter I was friends with. The other daughter dated and ended up marrying my Goomba.
Really?
Tight friend of mine. So after we listened to Led Zeppelin 2, we ate a bunch, we did some angel dust, and we drank some beers, and everybody's like, oh, we're going to a party.
How did she dress? Was she
always hot pants?
Always
she
hot?
Always showed that
short
pussy.
Short shorts?
Always short shorts. Always. It could be fucking 10 below, and she'd have a fucking hot pants.
So she knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
She right?
Was, and her nipples would always be hard in the winter.
Oh, my God.
Her face was gorgeous. So one night I said, tonight's the night I'm taking that bitch down. It had been about 2 years. At night, when she would walk the dog at 11, the husband was older than her. Like, her husband was like 60. She was in for the program. Yeah.
Oh, she was there for the ride.
Yeah. She was. That wasn't the girl's father.
No.
So I went. I got some of my mother's flowers, and I went and hid by the bushes and waited for her to come down with the two French poodles. And when she was going to bend over to put the French poodles down, I was just going to tackle her and then give her the flowers. Who tackles you and gives you flowers? I'm a class act.
Did you give her the flowers?
I walked up behind her. I saw her, I grab her. She turned on. She goes, Coco, what a surprise. I go, I brought these for you. I had my best cologne on. I brushed my teeth, Listerine, everything. I was ready to eat her from the inside out. And I had never even had sex with a woman before. And she's like, what are these for? And I told her how I felt. I love you. I want to run away with you.
Told her that?
Oh, everything. I told her everything I needed to tell. I had tears in my eyes. I got emotional. And she goes, that's so sweet. And I go, can I kiss you? And she told me that if she ever gets divorced, that she'd consider me. Like, she just told me, because I'm such a jerk off. You know what I'm saying?
You're 15, 14.
I was a young kid. And then I go, can I kiss you? And she goes, absolutely. And I kissed her on the cheek. And then I looked down, and I just started staring at her pussy. And she goes, what's the problem? And I just started getting red. You know, when you're 14, you get warmed up, you get red and redder. And she goes, what's the matter? And I go, I just want to touch your thigh. Okay, and I touched like the bottom of a thigh, and I could just feel blood coming out of my dick. Everything I had came out of me. I had to run home like Steven Seagal. Remember how Steven used to run all limped up like he was a half a retard in the book of law? That's how I fucking ran home, all fucked up.
Oh my God.
I never said nothing to nobody. And then about 4 years ago, me and my Goomba Bobby went out for breakfast, and I go, I would tell you the time I was going to fucking rape Faye. And he goes, why am I hearing about this now?
Right.
Well, it was 1979. I was a young kid. I was in love with Faye. He goes, you know, Faye lives with me now.
Because, really?
Yeah, he's married to the daughter.
Oh, my God.
So and I go, how's she look? And he goes, she's still on fire. She's 78 years old. And you know what? She walks around the house all day telling me how horny she is.
Really?
He goes, maybe. And I'm like, what are you fucking?
That's 70-something?
We giggled. We giggled, and that was it. And about 2 weeks later, I get a call one afternoon. It's Bobby, and I answer the phone. I go, what's up, Bobby? He goes, hold on, son. He wants to talk to you. And he put Faye on the phone. She's like, how you doing, sweetheart? Why don't you come visit me? I'm like,
oh, my God. That's incredible.
Fucking incredible. What's up, Nick?
All right, brother. How you
Nick,
feel?
Nick, you did tremendous over the Yankee playoffs. I'm sorry that it didn't go in your favor, but fucking the Senators were whatever the fuck they were. The Nationals were just too strong for everybody.
Yeah, well.
I remember when the New York Post actually put an article and said why the Houston Astros were going to win. They even set people up. You know, everybody had the Astros to win the World Series. Nobody bet Washington. I know three Puerto Ricans and a Polish guy that bet Washington, you know.
Yeah, but they had a chance. I mean, because they had good pitching. And in the postseason, the pitching, I mean, first two games, they fucking waxed. They waxed the Astros. And then they went back to Washington. And it looked like a different series. It looked like, okay, the Astros are showing their, you know, their pedigree. They won three on the road, you figured. But then I said, if the Nationals get it to a seventh game, all bets are off. You know, I just had this funny feeling. It just smelled weird. I'd never seen where, you know, the road team won every game. They run the first two on the road, then they lost the next three at home. Then they went back, they won that sixth game. It was weird. I had, you know, I don't bet, but I had a funny feeling that it was a possibility. And even when they had the lead in the seventh game and they got it to like 3-2, it was just, they had some mojo going. That guy Rendon, they had that kid Soto, who was tremendous.
He was 20 years old.
He's a fucking baby. You see the swing on this guy? Tremendous. And then they had Strasburg, who pitched like a animal. And, you know, I mean, they just, was their time. It was good for them, you know. Those are the old Expos, man. Those are actually the Montreal Expos, who are the Washington Nationals. Good for them.
Good for them. I was very,
you know what I mean? I mean,
I was very happy for the city of Washington, D.C.
Listen, the Astros, I mean, the Yankees had a billion chances. They couldn't get the big hit. But after they beat the Yankees, it was like, that was their big thing. It looked like, you know, like they won the World Series. They did win the World Series once, but I think beating the Yankees, the Yankees took a lot out of them. And the Yankees just didn't get a big hit when they needed it. You know, they tied that game in the sixth game, and unbelievable. In the ninth, I went crazy in the hotel room. Unfucking believable. And then Chapman throws a meatball. I don't know why he threw that fucking pitch to that Altuve, and
that was it.
Unbelievable. You see, somebody made a meme with me yelling at the kids.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was from me screaming because I couldn't believe he threw that fucking pitch. You don't throw an 0-2 pitch, and then he had a silly grin on his face. Like, what, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to throw that pitch to that guy? Come on, if you're going to get beat with your best. Don't get beat with a fucking piece of shit pitch, you know? That's what bothered me, because LeMayo, he battled, and tied the game. That guy LeMayo, he's a tremendous player. Oh, man. But we had fun. We had fun this year.
You had fun, and that's all that fun.
That's all that matters. You know, everybody was, you know.
And it all worked out. You got back that little shoot Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
Which you were great on. Then you have another episode coming up.
And I got one more, January 9th. That was the fourth finale last Thursday. And then January 9th will be the second, the finale to that, the beginning of the next season. Good show. 21 years, then. What a run they got, man. That's a well-oiled machine over there.
That's a well-oiled machine.
It's the only one left, right?
I guess, man. I was talking to Ice-T. He was like, he goes, man, Nick, I came on for 4 episodes. I wound up doing 20 years. I go, 20
That's
years.
Fucking crazy.
I said, yeah, how lucky you are, Ice, you know. He goes, I know. I go, man, that's a fucking run. That's a run.
He lives right there in Englewood, New Jersey. He gets on the ferry.
Yeah, cool guy.
They pick him up on the other side, and he goes and shoots his motherfucking scene.
What a fucking life.
And he goes back. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
listen, to live in New York today, you have to have John Lennon money.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to have,
if you're going to go back
to that
struggle,
show, they treat people good.
Yeah, they treat people
they
good.
They pay you.
I did it years
they put
ago.
You up.
I did it years
you
ago.
Know, they,
it was fucking freezing.
Class out.
Freezing out.
Yeah.
And I did 2 scenes with Marishka.
Marishka's very good.
And I did 1 scene with Ice Cube and,
Ice Tea.
Mortadell, Richard Belzer.
Oh my God, don't get me.
I'm on that fucking Mortadell.
I don't know him.
You never met him?
No, I don't know him.
Yes, you do.
I don't know him.
Yeah, I met that fucking Mortadell. I met him at the Comedy Store one night. He was a gentleman. And then I see him on the set or whatever, and it's snowing out in New York. We're shooting a scene,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a fat mechanic. and I'm under a car.
Was this, which Law and Order was it?
SVU.
Oh, SVU.
And Belzer and Ice Cube are supposed to pull me out and go, where were you? What did you see the other night?
Uh-huh.
You know, and they kept doing it, but the thing kept getting stuck on the ice.
Right.
So here I see Belzer 2 years early at the store. They introduce us. He watches my set. Bop, bop, bop. Funny, great. And all of a sudden, I go up to him on the set. I don't know if you remember me. We met. Like, oh, it's going to be like that. Okay.
What, he look at you like a...
Like I was a fucking jerk off all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Okay, I know what time it is. And then they're trying to pull me out, but they kept getting stuck on an ice cube. And finally, he's like, fucking help us.
And to
I,
you?
Yeah, and I go, I'm trying to get to it. And he goes, no, don't fucking try. Fucking do. And I go, whoa, for starters, lighten up, bitch. And Ice Cube got in between us.
Ice tea.
And then they got him out of the scene. Because I said, you know, this guy's confused.
Right.
This guy's confused. He don't know that I don't give a fuck about this job. I'll punch you in the fucking mouth.
He doesn't know who he's dealing
with.
With
his fucking acne skin and the fucking Scarface.
Was he a comedian?
Yeah, but he was horrible. And Scarface, he was fucking terrible, too. He made a living off of being a bad fucking comic, that dude, with attitude. He got a bad attitude that day. Nick, I never forgot it. And I looked at him afterward, and I go, if you want to throw it down, I'll smack that fucking acne off your face. I'm leaving. And he left like a cunt that he is. Then years later, I saw he threw a phone at somebody at Apple, and I go, I'm coming. Yeah, he lost his mind.
Wow.
Somebody told him he was good. Guy doesn't know how fucking lucky he is. That guy gets up every day. He's got to kiss the floor, kiss his sandal, throw fucking Allah juice in his face. Fucking cocksuckers. Anyway.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about these people? You look great.
Fuck it.
Talk to me. What did you think? We all waited and waited and waited. What did you think about the Irishman?
Tremendous.
From beginning to end, what did you think?
Well, you know, the first time I saw it.
When did you see it?
I saw it a little after it came out.
In the movie theater?
In the movie theater.
Where at?
I went to see it in Westwood.
Okay.
Was in the balcony with my wife. And you know, I just, the first time you watch something, you know, you're so excited. You're anticipating seeing all these giants. What is the CGI going to look like? And then at the beginning, it was a little weird, you know, with some of the stuff with them getting younger and a little hokey. But after a while, you just kind of surrender and just watch the work, you know. But I thought the movie was a little slow moving, but it didn't bother me at all because the work was so good that I, you know, I wanted to see it again to see if I liked it as much or I liked it less. But the second time, it went faster. A lot went to the same theater, and I even liked it better. I even liked it a lot better. I think some of the scenes in the movie are fantastic. There's some great, great scenes in the movie. The scene between Joe Pesci and Pacino is an incredible scene. That scene is so good. I mean, Al, he's got so much fire for like a 70-something. It's incredible how good he is still, you know? And Joe, he doesn't have a false moment in the movie. He's like, you watch him and he's there every second of the movie. He's so good. People forget how good Joe Pesci is.
I forgot how good he was.
Go back and watch Raging Bull, and you watch
him. No, don't watch
Raging Bull. No, I'm just saying.
Watch Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, but if you watch Raging Bull, he's, you know, Goodfellas, Casino is more flashy, Joe Pesci. But if you watch him, and as great as De Niro is in Raging Bull, Pesci is as good. I mean, he's just as, he's right, and that's De Niro in his prime, in his fucking prime. Obviously, and they love each other. And you can see that. And then you see that with De Niro and Pacino, that they really enjoy being together. You watch those scenes and there's a real love affair between the two of them, which, you know, you never would have known that. You would have thought, well, maybe those guys would be more competitive with each other, but they're not. They're not at all. They complement each other. I love the scene when he goes, you know, you can't talk to me like that. You called me a motherfucker. And he goes, no, not you. It doesn't apply to you, you know? It wasn't you. He goes, but I was standing right there. He goes, no, I would never say that to you. It was so sweet, you know? Come on, come back in. Come on, Frank. That was really, really a terrific moment. There's so many great moments in the movie. I mean, you have to overlook. I mean, in the perfect world, they should have made this movie 15 years ago. They really should have made the movie when they were younger. But it doesn't, You know, there are some people that are not crazy about it. There are some people that I've heard that thought, well, it's the same old thing. And, you know, it was, you know, I didn't believe some of the CGI. There was a couple of things. I think the voiceover I could have done with a little less voiceover. I don't think I need...
It's Scorsese style.
But that's the style that that's they the style do now. That he does. That's what they're doing now. They develop something that works, and it really doesn't bother me that much. I mean, you know, there are some things I don't need explained to me, but you're right. That's the style that they have.
What you have to remember one thing again, Nick. You're a student of the 70s. You're very lucky, like I'm very lucky. We got to see some of the greatest motion pictures of our time.
Right.
The 70s. There's not a lot of...
Can't
just,
beat it.
Just 73 alone. Just the talent. Just from 71 to 73 between the French
Godfather.
Connection.
French Connection.
French Connection.
Yeah.
He was a fourth choice. Gene Hackman was the fourth choice. And he ended up winning an Academy Award. Freakin' directed that. And he ended up directing The Exorcist.
Exorcist.
You know, we've seen all this great work. The problem I feel today, which I know I feel today, I never want to sound like two things in my life. A typical New Yorker. I've lived here for 22 years. There's no bagels. Get a grip of your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get a grip. And number two, I don't want to sound like the old guy that things were better back then. The problem is we got exposed to something that was so strong. You know, I anticipated waiting for Goodfellas. I was in a halfway house when Goodfellas came out. And I knew a year before the movie got released that it was coming out. I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I read the fucking book. I saw an interview on 2020 and I read the book. You know, we're living in an age right now of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Movies, you go see a movie, you're excited, it's a four. You, by the time you get to the car, you've forgotten what that movie's even about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've forgotten what it's about. I've been told about movies that were great the last 2 years that I've watched and said, I don't know what the fuck people are talking about.
Right.
They're an okay movie. This movie would do okay in 1970.
Right.
But would people go home and talk about it? No. So we have to, when you and I watch a movie, not to mention we grew up, these kids today don't know who Jimmy Hoffa is.
No.
They barely know who he was when I was growing up, when I grew up in the 70s.
Right.
So, you know, there were so many things that went into this movie. You know, you have the internet, which wasn't around when The Godfather was around, so they couldn't. I didn't read any of the reviews. I don't really give a fuck about reviews.
What are reviews anyway?
I wipe my ass with reviews.
That's what they are.
The only review I care about is my review and what I get out of paying the $10 for the movie theater. That's the only review I give a fuck. In today's world, I could watch a trailer and tell you if that's the movie. You ever watch a trailer, you get excited, and you go, that's the movie.
You think, you would like to think, but sometimes they're deceiving. You can have a great trailer and not such a great movie.
What has happened in today's world is we don't have time for great acting anymore. The kid from The Hurt Locker won an Academy Award for acting. He's a great guy, and he's a good actor. But 20 years ago, they wouldn't let him in the fucking door. Okay. The guy in The Hurt Locker is a great actor.
Yeah. Who are you talking about? Renner?
Yeah. But he's not an Academy Award actor. Not by any means at all.
These guys
there's
are...
There's two or three
these
guys.
These guys, they're not of that caliber.
We have Lawrence Fishburne. We have Denzel.
You got Denzel.
We got the fucking Mormon, the Scientologist.
Cruz,
who does, he's worth every dollar they give him.
He's a movie star.
I watch every movie he watches.
He's entertaining.
We got my man Pitt. We got Leonardo DiCaprio.
Those guys.
I did not watch the movie
those guys
with
are,
Quentin Tarantino.
They're terrific in
I
the
refuse
movie.
I refuse to watch that shit. And nobody's going to put Bruce Lee down to me in a movie. So I even refused to watch it on JetBlue Mint this week. That was the featured movie.
Oh.
I watched The Irishman. I don't watch that shit.
Have you seen The Irishman on the big screen?
No.
Oh, you should. You should see it on the big screen.
No, I know
screen.
I should. I should see it. I'll go see it. I'll go watch it.
Because it deserves a look on the big screen.
I watched it three times. I watched it. Huh?
You watched it three times?
I watched it the night it came out till 2 in the morning. I don't fuck around, me. I give respect when this respect is deserved. Okay? I watched it till 2 in the morning. I fell asleep. Obviously, I was tired. I'm on the pain pills and the muscle relaxers. For my leg.
Right.
And then I watched it on the plane on the way to Miami that night, and mm-hmm. then on Fort Lauderdale, and then I watched it in the hotel over the weekend because I really wanted to watch it from a different perspective. I was going to be up. I'm on East Coast time. When I'm on the road, I'm on East Coast time. So I'm not going to go to bed till 3 anyway.
Now, it's a treat to see these guys. It's a treat to see how good they are. And even like De Niro's character, you know, you don't always appreciate, because he kind of like takes a little bit of a back seat to Joe and Al a little bit. But yet, as the more you watch him, the more you could appreciate all the little subtleties, the nuances that Bob does, because he just grows on you. De Niro comes on like, he's not as, you know, Al's a little more, you know, he's bigger, he's more grand than Joe. But Bob is like, sort of Bob is in the, you know, he has a part that's almost, because he's playing a couple of different, you know, sides in the movie. So, but he's really, really good too.
Joe Pesci stole my heart in this movie.
Joe?
The last time he acted this good was at the end of Bronx Tale. He played the same character as the end of Bronx Tale. The end of Bronx Tale, when he goes into, he only has one scene, two scenes in Bronx Tale. But the end of Bronx Tale, it shows his warm side.
Right.
And in this movie, it showed that. He was phenomenal. I don't care about CGI. I don't care about
Great.
He was phenomenal.
He's really great in it.
The kid that you mentioned, I watched it after you mentioned
the
it.
The kid, Stephen Graham, is tremendous.
He was great. As
he's tremendous. His face, He's a bona fide, really good actor.
Now.
Really good.
Let's get to some.
The two scenes he had with Al?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wow.
He was phenomenal.
Those are great scenes.
He was phenomenal. The, you know, his office was in Union City, New Jersey. So when I was a kid. And
Tony Pro?
Yeah.
The real Tony Pro.
I heard about him. Yeah,
oh, you did?
A kid, that's why they always said that he was buried at the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they always said he was buried at the Meadowlands. Because right. Tony Pro had an office in Union City. But he also ran out of Bayonne. Whenever you go to White Man and Burger, there's a picture of Tony Pro and shit. So that's why they always thought he was buried in Giant. That was what I wanted to watch the movie for, to see where this motherfucker really ended up. Did you read the original I Paint Houses or no?
I'm reading it now.
Is that the original?
That's the book. They named it, you know, The Irishman, but it's actually called, you know,
I Paint Houses. Whatever. I never read the I Paint
Houses. No, I'm reading it now. And I mean, it's pretty much the guy's interviewing the guy and he's telling him all these stories. And, you know, I've heard different things. Some people saying they feel like some of it is accurate and some of it might not be. But, you know, listen, they told a story from the book, from this guy's perspective. Do you believe it or you don't? It's up to you. You know, I mean, for me, I try to believe the movie. Is the movie believable? And seeing what the guy spent his life around these guys, it is somewhat believable. It is. I mean, I don't know if he killed Joe Gallo, but Joe Gallo was killed, I remember, because I was obsessed with Crazy Joe. I wanted to make like a mini series out of him. There was a wild movie in the 70s. You can't even find it. It wasn't a great movie.
What was the name of it?
It was called Crazy Joe. But it was Dino De Laurentiis used to make these like cheap mafia movies. And he made a movie. And the guy is a great actor, but he was kind of too big to play Joey Gallo. It was Peter Boyle. But if you remember Channel 9, the Million Dollar Movie, they used to play these movies. He made the movie Joe, which was that crazy guy who murdered him. And then he made Crazy Joe. But Joe was a really good movie. Disturbing. If you remember Joe, they shot all the hippies in that movie. And the guy was looking for his daughter, Susan Sarandon. Have you ever seen Joe?
No. What's Joe about?
Well, Joe is like a guy who's like a Archie Bunker guy. He hates hippies. He hates this. He hates that. Then he meets this businessman. And he's looking for his daughter. And she's a drug addict. And he's like, you know, we should go find her. We should go find her. We should shoot all these fucking hippies. All these, you know, love child people. And the businessman likes this guy. He drinks beer. He lives in the, you know, he's like one of these like piece of Americana, blue collar, crazy guy with all these nutty ideas. But he actually gets the guy revved up. He's like a businessman. They got shotguns. I don't want to give it away, you know. And then he goes out and then they like start shooting up like all these druggies.
Now the Crazy Joe movie.
Now Crazy Joe was about Crazy Joe Gallo.
Okay. And that was made by Dino De Laurentiis.
Yeah. It wasn't.
What year about?
In the 70s, probably early 70s or late 60s.
Now, wasn't the gang that didn't shoot straight about Joe Gallo?
The gang that couldn't shoot straight, was supposedly based on, Yeah, some of those guys. Yeah, I think it was based on Jimmy Breslin wrote it, and Jimmy Breslin was the great columnist of New York City. Him and Pete Hamill, but that was a book that he wrote. And actually, De Niro plays a goofy. I've never seen the movie.
I remember.
You can find it.
But I know that our boy from Law and Order,
Jerry Orbach's in it. Now, Joey Gallo was hanging out with Jerry Orbach.
Right.
Joe Gallo started hanging out with all these movie stars. He started hanging out with artists. He thought of himself as an artist, too. He was like a really psychopathic guy. And then he was running around with, you know, all kinds of people. He got out of jail and he was, you know, he went against all these guys. You know, he was, apparently he did the barbershop murders, the Anastasia, when those guys got blown away. It was Gallo and his brothers.
And then they sent the black guy to shoot, what's his name, Columbo.
Yeah,
so
yeah, they sent the black guy, right.
The guy had mental health issues. They could never trace him back to Joe.
Yeah.
But it's so funny when, like, who would have the audacity to shoot something like that? And by myself, I go, Sebastian. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Sebastian walks in the room and I start laughing my fucking ass.
That's a crazy role. I don't know if he knows how crazy that guy was. A really psychopathic guy. Really, you look at him, you look at his eyes, you could see how like nutty he was. But the interesting thing was that he thought he was like, you know, he thought he was more of a, he used to paint. I don't know, he had some girlfriend that was like a, one of these, like, you know, artistic girls. So he was running with that whole crowd. But then, you know, he just, he stepped on too many toes. I mean, him and his brother.
Once you shoot somebody, the boss of the family, in the head.
Yeah.
That's, and they knew exactly who the fuck it was. They sent, like I said, I remember reading up about the black guy had mental health issues. He wasn't, they couldn't trace him back to Joe at all.
Right.
But when Joe went to prison, he hung out with the brothers in prison. So
yeah,
they kind of had an idea, you know. I don't even know if it went down the way it went down in the movie. I don't know.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, they had Frank Sheeran shoot Joey Gallo. And, you know, I know he got blasted in Umberto's because my dad used to love mafia murders. And he was always like, he got blasted when he was eating spaghetti. You know, he loved that. All these guys, always when they were eating food, some of them notoriously got blasted.
I thought, for me, I know somebody got killed at the Clam Broth House in Hoboken. But I went home and looked it up. I know that Crazy Joe went to the Clam Broth House in Hoboken with Jerry Orbach.
Yeah, that's but he got killed on Mulberry Street.
Right.
Yeah.
No. At first, you know, when I'm watching this movie at first, it's shit that I heard growing up.
Right.
It was little things I heard growing up.
I never heard of Frank Sheeran. So
I never heard of Frank Sheeran. I heard of Tony Pro.
Right, Tony Pro I've heard
Tony
of.
Tony Pro was. When I was a kid, my mother's bookmaking operation was on 118th between 3rd and 4th by La Marqueta.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rican with the trains on top.
Right.
So once a week we had to go to, I never went. They called them Los Italianos.
Los Italianos?
They would go pay a vig over to Fat Tony.
Right.
Because Fat Tony was right in these.
That's Fat Tony Salerno?
Right. In this fucking 115th Street was a social club. The Palermo, the Palermo Boys Club or something like that. And I still remember being a kid and walking across the street.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, don't walk on that side, no specs a lot. So I would walk across the street and just walk past, and you could smell like Italian cheese at a deli on the corner.
Right.
I'm talking about 1970s, guys.
Yeah.
You know, the last time I went over there, last time I was on 118th was 1980.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I used to run with the Puerto Ricans running numbers over there. But I knew the whole area was controlled by Tony. Then Fucko got into it. Fucko got into it, and that's when the problem started. American Gangster.
Oh.
He started.
You're talking about the guy in Harlem.
Because he wanted black numbers.
Right.
Because the Guineas had their numbers. The Cubans had La Bolita.
La Bolita.
That's what it's called, the Bolita.
Uh-huh.
So it's numbers. It's a paramutual.
Right.
Guineas play numbers, too. Not as concentrated as the Spicks, because the Spicks...
They used to have them on the paper, right?
Right.
Write them on a piece of paper.
Not even. You walk into the bodega, you put $6.14, $5, give the guy $5, he gives you a piece of paper, he keeps a piece of paper, and upstairs gets a piece of paper.
You're talking about Nicky Barnes.
Nicky Barnes. Yeah. Nicky, the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Nicky Barnes. I'm correct.
I think Nicky Barnes was... He might have been in jail with Joey Gallo.
Yeah, something... when, because the first thing that started all that heroin was the Purple Gang. That's what people don't understand. There's a book called I Got It at the House. Felipe gave it to me.
You got to think of New York at that time.
At that time.
Right? It's wild. New York then in the 70s and Nicky Barnes and the New York we remember and Joey Gallo. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy time. Really.
This is way before Gotti.
Yeah, this is way before Gotti, Sammy the Bull. This is different.
When I was a kid, it was completely different. It was fucking completely different. Then my mom had dry cleaning in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, was close to a social club. I still remember, like, the kids in the neighborhood going, if you go over there, they give you jobs.
Right.
Like, pick this paper up or whatever. I never went over there.
Yeah.
I was like a scared fucking kid. I was fresh out of Cuba. But it's so weird to show Fat Tony and how big of a presence he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I never knew that fucking he got a pardon from Nixon. You know,
because with Hoffa? Yeah, because he gave them money. He gave them money.
It's so weird how all the Scorsese's movies connect, and I don't mind that.
No, not
don't
at all.
Come and tell me, well, if you watch Casino, it was the skim from Vegas, and they talked about the Teamsters lending them money
right
in Casino. So now you get the other perspective from how Hoffa was cutting those loans out.
Right.
But they didn't tell you in Casino. They didn't tell you that. Right.
They just told you, you know, they mentioned the Teamsters, but they never mentioned, you know, that he was, you know, behind it or part of it.
I enjoyed The Irishman. Like, oh, you come. We had Jordan whatever here 2 months ago, and he was the guy from
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. And it's weird because when I watched Wolf of Wall Street, I enjoyed it.
No, it's enjoyable.
But I could tell already it was a Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
And it was being done a certain way. When I saw this, I enjoyed this movie. Let's get it out of the way right now. If you want to attack me online and say I'm an idiot, I don't give a fuck when anybody says I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie. And the key word here, it was the first time I've seen acting in a long fucking time. Acting is becoming a fucking dinosaur over tattoos and little hats and fucking gold earrings, and you got to be gay, or I got to hire diversity, I got to hire black for that role. It's eating away from acting. That's what I enjoyed about, you know, there's certain movies you watch, it's got a good plot, it's got a good whatever, but the acting.
The acting is true.
Something about the acting. When I watch What's Love Got to Do with It, and then I watch King of New York, I focus on Lawrence Fishburne. He plays two different types of Moulinian. Still a Moulinian. Two different types of Moulinian.
But you can separate them.
But you can separate
them.
I look at that. It's great to see those type of movies again. You know, when I looked at, what's the baseball movie with Brad Pitt?
Moneyball.
Love that movie.
It's a good movie.
I think Brad Pitt should have won the Academy Award.
I think Brad Pitt is he's kind of underrated.
Really underrated.
He's a better, and he shows it in this. I know you don't want to see the movie, but he's so wonderful in this movie.
I mean,
Leo's great. And Leo is terrific, but Brad almost steals the movie. He actually, like, there's something about him in this movie that you go, I like this dude, man. I really like
him. I've always loved Brad Pitt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's really good in this movie.
Whatever, The Fall, whatever that movie he made, or The Fall, all those movies.
He's always been good.
I love him.
He's always been good.
I love him in the Ocean's 11 movie.
And like I said, he's a better character actor, but because they've made him a movie star, you sometimes forget he's still a good actor. Sometimes they make a guy a movie star. You know what I mean? Like Tom Cruise. They made him a movie star. But Tom Cruise is a good actor. He's not just a movie. There are some movie stars that can't act. He can actually act, Tom Cruise. And Brad Pitt, too, in my book. You know what I mean? Some guys, they're just kind of stars.
You know what was on the other night? That was, you forget how good Brad Pitt is. The movie when he played the NRA. With Harrison Ford was the cop in New York, and he got in trouble while they were shooting. That Brad Pitt got in trouble for smoking fucking pot on the set. He kept smoking reefer, and had a
I don't know if I know that movie.
They shot that movie.
What's the name of it?
It's Brad Pitt and Harrison Ford. He comes from the NRA to come over here to give messages to people, and he stays with Harrison Ford, who's an NYPD blue cop.
Right.
And then the movie unfolds. I watched the first 20 minutes. It was starting at midnight. But I was like, wow, look at this. This is
The Devil's Own?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Devil's Own. This is
when, I don't know that one.
This is when Brad Pitt was still, you know, fighting for his fucking life. And you could see he's got short hair. He was clean. He was dating Jennifer Aniston. You know, then he was smoking too much Tootsalutes. Jennifer Aniston told him he's got to slow down a little bit. Then Mr. and Mrs. Smith came along. He went over there. He sucked that little twat's pussy. Mm-hmm. That fucking Angelina Jolie.
Lost his mind.
He ate that little monkey. She showed up with three little black kids from the jungle. He says, fuck it, I'm staying here.
Yeah, for poor a little bit.
Poor Jennifer Aniston is still fucking crying.
Yeah.
$50 million, she's still crying.
She's doing all right.
She ended up marrying some fucking white jamoke.
Yeah.
And now
she's a real mama Luke.
But all Brad has to do is knock on the door with his dick out.
She opened the door in a heartbeat.
Oh.
In a fucking heartbeat.
Everybody knows it.
In fact, he might be there now.
Yeah. Nah,
I don't know. But I mean,
she's still. He would fuck her world. If Brad showed up and gave a Brad dick now, 20 years later, it would fuck her up forever.
But I'll tell you what I also like getting back to The Irishman is the movie, it gives you time to breathe. Like you said, you can watch the acting. And the more you see it, the more you could see scenes that, even like the scene when they're having cereal at the end. That's a great scene. And he's like, you know, Pesci's telling him, he goes, you know, we did all we could for this guy. He goes, I know how you feel. And, you know, he's like, you want to have some coffee, whatever. It's just such a beautiful scene. You're hungry? What are you eating? They're eating cereal. I don't know what they're eating. Some kind
total.
Of cereal. Total. He goes, total. There's great little moments between the two of them sitting there. And even like with Alan, Bob, some of the scenes is like, you know, I'm worried. I'm really worried about it. And he's like, what they're going to threaten me? You know, Al goes, they wouldn't dare. You know, they wouldn't dare. He goes, I know, I'm really, you could feel like he's really concerned. You know, but you watched it. There's a beautiful, like if you really appreciate acting, you have to see the movie a couple of times to really see how rich it is. There's such greatness between not just the big scenes, but the scenes that are subtle. Beautiful scenes. I mean, between Joe and Al and Bob, and then like it's like Stephen Graham. That's what I like. I like that it gives you a chance to. You got to have an attention span. A lot of people are like, oh, it's slow. It's slow. It's not slow.
It's not slow.
It's not slow.
It's not slow.
You're slow. You're slow because you know they all want fast food, and just you know this is a movie that it resonates. It stays with you. And what I also liked was you know. That you felt like Jimmy Hoffa was not one of those guys. You didn't feel he was a gangster. And a lot of people, well, he was a gangster. I said, not necessarily. He did business with them, but that doesn't make him, you know, he wore white socks and everything, you know, and you just, I like that. I like that he wasn't just like one of those guys.
Well, what I liked the most was the initial call. How you doing, Frank?
Oh, that's great.
Good things about you.
That's tremendous.
I hear you paint houses.
Yeah.
Phone call.
Yeah.
The way he went out of his way to sound kind of hickish.
He did. He had the little twang there.
Yes.
He goes, I heard you're a brother of mine.
Yes.
You're a brother, of mine. He goes, I love when he says, how would you like to, do you want to be a part, do you want to be a part of this history? Yes, I do. And it was just beautiful. It's funny when Pesci goes, I got that kid here. The guys, yeah, you almost have to laugh. Hey, got that kid here. You know, I thought they wasted a little bit because he was good in the one scene. I would have liked to see a little more of Keitel. You know, he was good in the scene when he goes, you know, about the laundry. Did you know who that was? He goes, oh, you know, he goes, you got a good friend here.
No, you don't know.
You know, you don't know.
How good of a friend there.
You know, you got a real good friend. And the look on Joe Pesci's face is like, you know, he was his rabbi, you know. And even with the, you know, Pacino's like, well, you're with me, so they can't hurt me, you know? It definitely, there's something about when, you know, friendship, getting older, aging with those guys. That's what was beautiful about the movie. All right, so some of it is, you know, when De Niro throws the guy through the window, that was a little, I mean, whatever. You know, I'm not gonna not like the movie because there's a couple of things that are hokey. Some people want to pick on a lot of shit. It's a beautiful movie. It's worth 3 hours of your time. It is. It's 3.5. All right, couldn't. Would I knock out a half an hour? Eh, maybe. Maybe I could have shortened it a little bit, but it's worth your time. It's worth seeing it on the big screen. See it on the big screen, then you watch it on Netflix like I did. That's what you do. Go have the experience in a movie theater. You know, I saw Godfather 1 and 2, a double feature with my dad. Back to back. How'd you like to sit there for 7 hours? It's got to be good. Better than good. Terrific.
With me, Nick, I got to be honest with you, I don't have 3.5 in the daytime.
No, I understand.
So for me, I always knew it was going to be the plane. When I saw it was coming out the 27th, that's why I booked Miami. And I took a red eye.
Yeah.
Because for me, I knew it was going to be the plane. I'm the type of guy,
yeah,
I could sit here all week, nobody calls. The minute I sit in the movie, all of a sudden Pacino wants to see me for the biggest role of my life. And now you look at the email and you look at the phone and you put it away, but now as you're watching, you can't think.
Right.
I can't go to the movies for 3.5 hours because I can't think. I can't sit there. I can't sit there. I wish I could anymore. I wish I had the fucking...
Well, this was one I wanted to go.
No,
I don't really even want to go to the movies.
If I'm on the road, like if I'm on the road and somebody has it on Friday at a matinee, especially now, I don't have to do ADR, I'll go until 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I would go to a nice rustic theater, get a nice lunch at a Chinese restaurant, egg roll, pork fried rice, shrimp and lobster sauce. Smoke 2 joints and go and sit there and then take an edible because I'm not going nowhere for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. And that's, just what, what I did Friday night. That's what I did on the plane.
But it's a treat to see it on the big screen.
No, it is.
Because the performances are, these guys are so good. You want to see them. You know, I even my brother saw that we went to the New York opening and he liked it a lot. And he said, I want to see it again.
I knew as soon as I watched it, the beginning of it, Wednesday night, I stayed up till about 2. I didn't get up to Sebastian. I know that. I didn't get up to Sebastian.
No, you didn't get up to him?
But what I had seen, I had liked already.
Right.
So I was like, perfect. Now I got
some. He had a nice moment with De Niro. Funny.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I was very happy for him. Trust me, I'm telling you, I was very happy for him.
I'm sure it was very exciting for him. It had to be. I mean, you see some of these comedians in the movie. I mean, Ray Romano, he's been doing a little more acting and they're giving him...
Even him.
You know,
it was great to see him. He's growing,
These guys are improving.
They're improving. Ray Romano was great. Our boy was good. The Cuban, Cannavale, cutting the chicken's neck off.
Of course, Bobby's good, yeah.
You always got to give the Cuban cutting the chicken. right there, that's the letter I would write.
I like when he's eating the steak.
When he's eating
the steak. He goes, you want steak? He goes, I do. I can get you steak. Yeah.
I like steak.
Yeah. Bobby's very funny. He's very funny. And, you know, he was tremendous in Boardwalk. Have you ever seen him in Boardwalk?
He was tremendous.
I mean, Bobby's got a lot of talent. He's Cuban and Italian. Yeah. So he's got some Italian in him.
I don't know. I didn't know a lot of the story beforehand. So something that I kind of wished, I could see this even more. Like, I would like this more, I think, if it was like a short miniseries on Netflix. Like 4 or 5 hours.
You know, Lee, you might not be completely wrong. It probably could have been well served because now when they're doing these 6-part, these 8-part, like John did the night of. It almost, that's a great idea. But I don't think these guys would have went that route.
Because I know to have those guys, it's a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little, it's not that it's a slow movie. It's that like the 70s movies back then were long for movies then. And now, if it's anything over 90 minutes, people now, they get tired.
Yeah.
So if I could have seen, had a little bit more explanation about Hoffa, I thought they did a good job there. He was like the Beatles. He was like Elvis. But have a little bit more with him and have a little bit maybe more with De Niro's kids.
Yeah, because they didn't let them talk much. It was more
I think if it could have been 4 or 5 hours, split up by an hour, that I would have...
Well, here's the problem. Okay, another problem we have in today's society of movie making and television is that we don't have good directors. We do not have good directors. We have people who know how to shoot a camera.
Right.
Nobody went to directing school. Nobody learned. Nobody studied. The underlying message throughout the movie was what the daughter knew what was going on the whole time.
That was unspoken.
That was unspoken.
Right.
Okay. And
wasn't said, but
I like that.
You did like that.
I like that.
Yeah. I didn't mind that.
I didn't mind that. Imagination.
Yeah.
What we don't have today. If it's not spelled out, I guarantee if I made a 4-hour fucking movie about Iron Man, all these little motherfuckers wouldn't say there was no paying attention. If I made a 4-hour movie about Iron Man, fucking Silver Surfer, and all this little white shit they're doing now, nobody would make a complaint. Nobody would have a boo. Right or wrong?
Right. No, no.
The Avengers, 4 hours?
Yeah.
5 hours? Not one person would say boo.
Right.
You know? These are different mentalities.
Yeah.
This guy started out making, you know, we've seen him in fucking Mean Street.
Yeah.
And we've seen him evolve over the years. So it's 40 years of really being a real director.
It's an accumulation, a body of work. Right.
So it's being a real director. What we have today, you know, you went to see John Wick 2 or 3. Did you not?
No.
Okay. Did you see John Wick 2?
No.
Did you see John Wick 1?
No.
Well, if you go to see any John Wick movie, while you're there, you're very entertained. While you walk back to the car, quiz your wife and ask her, what was the movie about?
You remember it.
You don't remember it.
I'm saying.
No, you do not remember it.
That's the whole thing for
me.
There's
nothing.
Does it stay with you?
When I watch a movie today, I walk in, I walk out, and I go home. It's a cute movie.
Yeah.
I never think about it again.
You never think again.
I never had the urge of putting it on. This movie, I knew I was going to watch it again.
Yeah.
After like I said, I watched an hour and a half of it after 6 edibles, 22 bong hits. You got to figure 8 muscle relaxers and a pain pill because my leg is fucked up. So, but I couldn't really grasp it. So when I knew I was going to watch it again. People, you know, people are going to complain about everything in this world. Me, I don't really give a fuck. I don't read Yelp. I've never given a fuck when anybody else has said. I got 3 people, 3 or 4 people. If they tell me to go to a restaurant, I go to that restaurant. If they don't tell me to go to that restaurant, I don't know what you're talking
about. If you don't know what you're looking at, that's a problem. I mean, sometimes you got to tell somebody and they still don't get it. And you go, like, that was a great scene. And the guy goes, yeah, but they really don't know what they're looking at. They really don't understand what the fuck that is. Sometimes people just don't know. It's just like a baseball game. You can watch it, and then you know how to. If you watch it with me, I can show you how to watch it through my eyes. It's a little different. It's just like watching good acting. You can see it.
Well, this is what I got out of it.
And that's why it's such a treat to see those kind of guys that, you know, there's nobody left that will last. Last of the Mohicans, you're never going to see them probably again like this. Probably not, you know? You know, I mean, Joe is probably go back to playing golf. He's tremendous, but we haven't seen Joe forever. And Al will probably continue to do his thing, and Bob does a little bit of both, but this was really a passion project for Bob to get back to where he came from. Serious acting. Real acting. You know?
No, I'm happy. I'm happy this move. And I got to be honest with you. 2 weeks ago, I was at the Improv. I had gotten off stage. I sat down. It was me, Rogan, and Tony Hinchcliffe. And Rogan asked me if I was excited about The Irishman. I told him no.
You said no?
No.
Was he excited?
Really
see
excited.
It? Did he see it?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to him.
Okay.
I told him. He's another one. He ain't got no 3.5 hours. We ain't got 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours is a plane or at night.
It's a bit much for people.
It's too much.
Yeah.
So I know he'll watch on a plane or, but he ain't going to go no movie theater.
I mean, listen, after he died in the movie, you could have wrapped it up. You know what I mean? It went on a little bit at the end.
But no,
but,
because I liked what you said earlier. It watched him grow. That line when he goes, where you going? I'm going to church. You'll see. That's a great line.
Yeah.
You know, to see him all. And then to see them interview him at the end. And they're telling him that nobody's left. Like, nobody's left from that day. What are you hiding from us?
Right.
There's nobody left.
There's nobody left.
Bellino.
Yeah.
This guy.
Everybody's dead.
And it's so fast. The other thing I liked about this movie is that for the last 30 years, if you're a mafia enthusiast or you like those type of movies, you've always heard of the five families. The Columbos, the Genoveses, the Gambinos, the Bonanos, and whoever else. I don't know. I missed
right.
the Lucchesis. And then you got that other thing over in New Jersey, which is Sam the Plumber or whatever. Years ago, there was a script going around about Water Something, Pennsylvania. There was a script going around. Really good script.
Mm-hmm.
About hijacking and the shit that was going. That's where they were cutting the heroin and then bringing it into the city. And they had their own family up there.
Right.
You know? And I know where Mike Kessler lives today. The Wolfman, the guy that used to come on the show. There's still dabs of little mafia pockets up there. He tells me that there's somebody that's still alive up there.
Really?
Really, like 80, 78. He's still alive. He's out of jail. He told me his name recently. But it's so weird. Like, out of Buffalo is the Magadino crime family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where Fucko went after he killed Michael. After he killed Michael's wife in The Godfather, he went to Buffalo. That's why if you watch the long version of The Godfather, he blows up the pizza place.
Oh, right. You mean one of the greaseballs?
Right. So, yeah, the two, Furia.
Yeah.
I think Paolo and the other
guy.
It's really weird to show people that Russ, whatever his name is, McGee, whatever you want to call him, he was in charge of a small Italian family out of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at fucking Canada Dry as a mechanic, and he knew everything about cars and trucks and all that.
Well, that's how he knew all that stuff?
That's how he knew all that stuff. In real life, he had worked for Ginger Ale. I know this because I listened to the podcast today, the Sebastian podcast.
Oh, they explained that on there?
Yeah, that's what they're doing with this podcast.
They're explaining a lot of details.
To accompany you, you know, to let you know what the fuck is going on. So
that's good to know because, you know, like Lee said, they kind of skim the surface on some things. Like even Jimmy Hoffa, he was such an interesting guy. Pacino is tremendous in the movie, but would have maybe liked to see him just a little, you know a little more about him because you see the interviews of the real Jimmy Hoffa. He's an interesting dude. Smart guy.
Well, now I'm going to revisit.
Go on YouTube. You see these interviews.
Now I'm going to revisit Hoffa, the movie, the one that came out 20 years ago with Jack Nicholson.
And now Jack is very good in it.
Yeah, Jack is very
good. Jack does a different, completely different.
DeVito
as,
was good.
Not as good a movie.
DeVito is good.
But Jack is great.
Yeah, Jack is great.
Al is great, but they're different. I don't want to compare. And you know what I mean? Al's got some scenes in the movie that are like, you know, Academy Award scenes. The two scenes with Tony Pro and the scene with Joe Pesci, just those three scenes knock you the fuck out. If you want to be an actor, you watch those scenes, you go, wow. He's got scenes that are like show-stopping scenes, you know? But Jack is tremendous, you know, as Jimmy Hoffa. There's an old movie that Stallone did. Not a bad movie. And it's based on Jimmy Hoffa. It's called Fist.
Fist, yes.
And it's very much based on, and Sly plays, he plays this guy, John Kovac. But really, John Kovac was the head of the Teamsters. He was really playing Jimmy Hoffa. Tony LoBianco plays a mob guy, young Tony LoBianco, who was a good actor. He was in the 7-Ups, French Connection. Tony Lo was like a really good Italian character. He had
He's the one that owned the luncheonette.
Yeah, the luncheonette. The guy was a really good New York actor. Guys like him, Tony Musante, who was another great actor, who was Toma, the TV show before Beretta. But Tony Musante was in Pope of Greenwich Village. He's the uncle. He kisses him by the gate.
He's
a great actor, that guy, Tony Musante. But Tony Lo was good, and Stallone was really good in this movie, Fist. It's worth watching. He didn't get, like, he got, you know, a lot of people try to knock him, but he was actually, he's really good in that movie. I really love that movie, Fist. Have you ever seen it?
It's been 20 years.
It's like 2.5.
It's like the Lords of Flatbush.
Lords of Flatbush is tremendous.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like anybody that hasn't seen the Lords of Flatbush? You're missing out.
I have been making a list of movies to watch.
He's so good in The Lords of Flatbush, it ain't funny how good he is in the movie.
There is a list that I've been making to watch.
You've seen The Lords of Flatbush, right?
Oh my God, I seen the movie theater.
Right, me too.
The movie theater. And the beauty of this is that I've been making a list of movies I want to watch.
I tell people like movies that guys at the bank. Have you seen Fingers?
Yes. That's Lenny Keitel.
Harvey Keitel,
yes.
Tremendous.
Again, it's been 20
Michael
years.
Michael Vigazzo.
This has been 20. I got a six-year-old.
Yeah. I know, it's hard.
I put the fucking TV on.
It's hard.
You know, you sit down at the house, you put the fucking movie
on. Who's got time to watch a movie anymore?
They start saying, fucking right. Suck. She's in the other room. I can't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't
so
do it.
So whatever I watch, I got to watch after 8:30.
Get that little girl.
I got a spot. I do comedy at night.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the movie thing, it's like we have a friend, Rick Ramos, who has a tremendous movie podcast. Rick will stay up all fucking night and watch 10 fucking movies.
Yeah. Like last night, one of my favorite movies was on. This fucking movie, I can't ever get enough of it. The Town.
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies.
I can watch it.
How
almost
good was he in that movie?
Never better.
He's a fucking phenomenal.
He was never better.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
The fucking that's
if
like
it's on TV.
That's like
crack.
It's
on TNT.
It's on HBO right now. So like,
oh, it is.
I'll
again?
Pick it up. I'll pick it up in the middle. The end. I just love the movie. I just can't get
enough. I
never tire
love
of it.
Love it. Love everybody.
It's
love
not
it.
Only entertaining. It's really good. Really tight.
Really good. Really,
really
good.
Tight.
I see the chubby guy. All the time.
Who's the chubby guy?
Breakfast at Eat.
Oh, okay.
I go in there with my wife, like on Thursday.
Oh, that's a good movie.
He's over there eating, over at Eat and stuff.
Nah, that's how you drive a fucking car.
That's a great fucking movie. How's the podcast coming
along? It's going great. It's going great.
I'm
going
to come down.
You got to come down someday. Maybe if you want to go, we'll do it in a restaurant or something. It's closer for you.
Yeah,
everybody wants you to come on.
Yeah, we'll do nice.
So they're always like, where's Uncle Joey?
Today we're going to order that pizza. Because I'm hearing that it's better.
Well, why
than
don't
Joe's
we do?
Now.
We'll do something.
Let's just do something live from over
there.
Yeah,
live from over there.
Weeks.
We'll have the Sicilian or some shit
perfect.
In a couple of weeks. Let me know.
Perfect.
We'll do that.
No, when I thought about this movie, I wanted to talk about it. It was either you or Rick. And I go, no. Once I saw you yelling Wednesday night, you said something to Rappaport on Periscope. I'm like,
but they were dropping at midnight.
Yeah.
So
I waited.
TV.
At 10 to midnight, I go, well, maybe it's at 9.
I saw it twice already. Now I may go see it again this week.
Really?
Well,
back in the movie theater?
Well, because my father-in-law is in town, and I figure, you know, I'd like the guy to see it on the big screen. You know what I mean?
And where is it now? Is it?
It's at Lemley. There was one here in NoHo, and there's one Lemley in Encino. So
they have it's playing at the Lemley in NoHo?
Yeah, I think so.
It is?
Yeah, I hope you get to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, no, if like tonight,
you
I'm
know?
Not doing dick.
Yeah,
she goes to bed at 8:30. If they have a fucking 9 o'clock showing, I might as well go. Get nice and high.
Why not?
Get nice and stoned.
Have you seen it on the big screen?
Not on the big screen. No.
Oh, bring a fucking. Okay. Bring a fucking. Don't take the phone with me. See, that's when I can focus at night.
Right.
Like lately, what I do is I love fucking when they go to bed at 9.
Yeah, that's your
I'm
time.
On the couch with them. As soon as my wife goes in that fucking room, I shoot in my office and I start writing. And I write straight till 11 o'clock till Sons of Anarchy comes on. Then I take a breather. I don't
what do you write,
Sons
jokes?
Of Anarchy. Yeah, I write jokes, book.
Book,
one
whatever.
Man show, whatever the fuck I'm watching, whatever the fuck I'm doing, I'm writing.
Right.
So that's, but like I said, 3 hours is a lot.
Now I want to see after you see it on the big screen, just to see you. Your reaction. I mean, I think you're going to like it even more. Because, you know, because there's always a little bit of a letdown. Yet there are some movies that hold up. It looks beautiful on, you know, on the TV, too. It does look beautiful. But it's a movie. It's not a, you know.
I think it would actually be better on the big screen just because I took a break like 2 hours in. Like, you had to check your phone a little bit. You go to the bathroom. In the movie theater, you're forced to really pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, like on a plane, you have to pay attention.
You do.
For me, on a plane, there's no phone. There's no gods. That's when I want to watch a movie, I just wait and watch on a plane.
Really?
I get a mint seat. I sit by myself. I put the earphones on and I fucking watch and I relax. That's the only way I could do it. Because once I'm in a flight, if I go to a matinee, the phone's going to start ringing.
Yeah.
Trust me. So there's I could sit Monday through Thursday and not one fucking personal call.
Mm-hmm.
I go to this movie up here. I went to see Rambo. Meanwhile, throughout the fucking movie, you know, the phone starts ringing. I don't care. It's Friday. You can't do nothing to me on a Friday. Right. What are we going to do, an audition tomorrow? So I just waited. But daytime movie, well, I was my, Nick, I grew up in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Nick, you know, when you watched it, this movie brought me back.
Well, because going to the movies was special. We went as a family. When we went, it wasn't a daily occurrence.
No.
It was an event.
It was like flying. There was a time when flying, you put a suit on.
Right.
You fucking went.
Big deal.
Big deal. Now you fly, you feel like a fucking Pavarotti. These people wash dirty feet.
Yeah.
Flip-flops. Fucked up hair.
Nah, they got no class. Morning,
a fucking dog on the fucking plane.
Animals.
That dog shit, they have to pull the fucking plane down.
That just happened. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Oh, no, I know it happens. I'll fucking kill you. I'll fucking kill you on the way home. I'll poison that fucking dog. I'll make Michael Vick look like a fucking altar boy. I'll fucking shoot it with a dart. I don't give a fuck. I'll electrocute that fucking dog with my hearing aid. I'll put the hearing aid on him and throw water on that motherfucker. I'll fuck that motherfucker up. What's the name of the podcast?
Breaking Bread.
When does it get released?
It releases usually on Thursday. We're going to have John Sally in this week.
Okay, good. He's a good man.
We should have the Flying Jew first.
Get the Flying Jew down there.
All right. And then we'll bring you have some pizza with you.
Number one, the Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by my bookie. We're in the middle of fucking football season. Basketball season's in full swing. College basketball's coming. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You like betting sports? I'll tell you where I put my money down. MyBookie.ag. If you're trying to bet NFL, college basketball, hoops, hockey, whatever the fuck, three Puerto Ricans with a knife, whatever the fuck you want to bet on, my bookie's got it. They got better incentives and more lines than any other sports book, period. Use promo code CHURCH to get a 50% bonus on your initial deposit up to $1,000. You're like, Joy, what does that mean? What does that mean? You put in a grand, they give you a nickel. It's that easy. Visit mybookie.ag today. That's mybookie.ag. And don't forget to use promo code CHURCH when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Number two, the church today was sponsored by the Behind the Scene Irishman podcast. I mean, we just discussed The Irishman for the last hour and a half. It's the latest movie by Martin Scorsese. It stars De Niro, Pacino, Joe Pesci, and my brother Sebastian as crazy Joe Gallo. Listen, like Nick and I said, the movie was five
tremendous
stars. I didn't care about the length of it. It was the beauty of it and the acting of it and everything else that had to do with it. But like Lee said, that there was parts you didn't know about or you never heard about it. Now you can go behind the scenes with Behind the Irishman, the official podcast. Learn about the real Frank Sheeran and his deathbed confessions to killing Jimmy Hoffa. Learn what drew De Niro to the book and how he convinced Scorsese to make the movie. I guess he approached him like 9 years ago.
Yeah, more than, yeah.
And what it took them to get Joe Pesci out of retirement. And for the film nerds out there, learn about the de-aging technology they used to make the cast look 20 years younger. It's hosted by my brother, MTV Award, tremendous comic, Sebastian Maniscalco, who's part of the church family, and he's great in the movie himself as Joey Gallo. This is such an epic film, it needed its own podcast. This is the first Netflix podcast dedicated to a single film. Now, do me a favor right now. I don't know if you watched the movie or not. Watch the movie, but go to Behind the Irishman. It's available now on every platform. That means Apple, Spotify, stuff like that. Check my show notes for the link or search it. Search for it now. New episodes come down every Monday. Make sure you listen to today's. It's going to clarify the movie a lot and help you out. Watch the movie, then go Behind the Irishman. I want to thank the Behind the Irishman podcast. I want to thank mybookie.ag. But most importantly, I want to thank you bad motherfuckers for always supporting us. Don't forget, I think there's 6 tickets left for the late show at the Town Hall at $42. And there's like 9 left at $900. If you pay a dollar over fucking $35, you're a jerk off. The second show's going to be good, so it'll be worth $42. But don't pay over fucking that at all for nothing in my shows. For $900, you can get a plane ticket, come to L.A., go to the Comedy Store, and see all of us perform. So I got Calusa Casino December 27th and the San Francisco Performing Arts Theater on the 28th. And without that, that's it and that's that. I want to thank Nick Paturo for stopping in and covering The Irishman. What's the name of the book?
The Irishman.
The Irishman. So you paint houses.
But the real title is You Paint Houses.
You Paint Houses. So if you're into the movie, if you enjoyed it, thank you very much for listening today. We'll be back Wednesday morning, tip-top motherfucking Magoo, ready to fucking go. All right, a little Tony Bennett for you to end the day. All right, I love you, motherfucker. See you Wednesday morning. Have a great week. Stay black. Kick this fucking muley.
Up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me, who'll leave you to learn that misery loves company. Wait and see. I mean, I wanna be around to see how he does it when he your heart to bits. Let's see if the puzzle fits so fine. That's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from a front row seat, when somebody breaks your heart like you.